Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ Volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners. Care of Nature Now at kptz.org. Hello, and welcome to Nature Now for this very last week of July. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and this week we are going to summer camp. The Port Townsend Marine Science Center offers great learning opportunities for young people from the very, very little ones to teens, and it's all throughout the summer. Emily Carpenter, an AmeriCorps volunteer, is here today to talk about the camps, and with Emily is Annabelle Moore. She's a summer camper who lives right here in Port Townsend. So, Annabelle, I want to ask you, what camps have you attended?
I really only attended one when I was little, the Junior Explorers. But this summer, I was a junior counselor for the exact same one.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, we'll talk more about that. And welcome. I'm so glad you're both here. But first, before we get to our chat, let's hear the mystery sound for this week. So I do have a little tiny hint. That sound actually reminds me of house mice, but the mystery sound is not from a mouse. You can find this decorative critter that made that sound from the rocky ocean shores to high in the mountains near rushing streams. Let's look at observations of what people have seen around town. And I'm asking Emily and Annabelle to help me out. So Annabelle, do you want to share the first one?
Although Wendy Feltham is most often found exploring the intertidal of the Salish Sea, she has lately also been exploring the mountains. On a recent trip to Mount Walker, she spotted a curious black beetle with very long jaws. Consulting expert through the web-based program iNaturalist, Wendy identified it as a greater night-stalking tiger beetle. Apparently, the long jaws of the greater night-stalking tiger beetle help it eat yellow-spotted millipedes. Wendy saw 5 millipedes during the same hike.
The yellow-spotted millipede has a brownish-black body, about 2 inches long, with tiny yellow spots on each side of each segment. If you get close enough to smell it, you will smell the scent of almonds. That almond smell is the smell of cyanide. The amount of cyanide secreted by an individual millipede is not enough to seriously harm a human, although it may stain the skin or burn and blister if you're sensitive. Wash your hands if you handle one. This amount is lethal, however, to birds and rodents. Cyanide is so toxic to most living organisms that it was once thought that cyanide millipedes were running the risk of killing themselves. But scientists found that the millipedes are immune to cyanide. They are able to process it and convert it into harmless chemicals. The yellow-spotted millipedes are the most important tritivores, or organisms that actually feed on dead leaves and litter and turn it into feces so the nutrients can enter the soil decomposition recycling chain. From a conservation point of view, they're absolutely critical to the health of the Pacific Northwest forests.
What is the difference between a centipede and a millipede? The words mean 100 legs and 1,000 legs. Is that true?
There are actually a number of differences between centipedes and millipedes. First, the centipedes average about 40 legs, but some species can have as many as 300 legs. Most species of millipedes have about 300 legs, but there is an African species that has about 700 legs.
So the 100 and 1,000 stuff is just not true.
Yeah, if you look closely, the most visible difference is that centipedes have only one pair of legs per body segment, while millipedes have 2 pairs of legs per segment.
I want to share something from gazing out my window this week. I was watching birds at the bird feeder. On the ground, I saw 2 spotted towhees. They were about the same size. One was a handsome male. The other was browner and heavier streaked. It was a juvenile from this year's hatch. Both were foraging for insects and seeds, but every now and then, the juvenile would stop its own feeding, hunch down a bit, and stand with its beak agape. The male immediately gave whatever food he had to the juvenile. I was amazed at that sort of strong signal and response pattern.
Mars is blazing across the sky this week. The red planet rises around sunset and is in view all night. Mars is passing closer to the Earth than it will again for many years. For the next couple of months, Mars will be the third brightest object in the night sky after the Moon and Venus. Look in the southeast as night falls. For the next few nights, the Moon and Mars will appear very close to one another in the sky. Mars boasts a visible orange-red color in the night sky. Mars is red because it has a layer of rusty dust covering its entire surface. Mars is some of the largest dust storms in the galaxy. And just this last June, one of the most intense dust storms ever seen on Mars began. The dust storm, which grew to completely cover the planet, caught NASA's Opportunity rover by surprise, forcing it into survival mode and into the nightly news.
Yeah, have you seen any of that? I've seen actually Mars here in the sky, and it's red. You can't miss it.
Yeah, I saw it the other day.
Yeah. Annabelle mentioned earlier iNaturalist, and I don't know if you know about iNaturalist, but I encourage everyone to check it out because you'll learn about a number of natural history observations locally and all over the world. I, quote unquote, follow a few local naturalists, including Wendy Feltham. And I stumbled across a description that came from John Brew. He's a Seattle area naturalist, and he posted this on his page. John says, "I'm an amateur naturalist, always learning." And then he quotes from the ancient Greek philosopher and scientist Aristotle. The quote is, "Each one of us adds a little to our understanding of nature, and from all the facts assembles arises a certain grandeur." I love that. I think it's just a sort of an apt statement for the spirit of nature now. So in continuing in that spirit of observing and inquiring, let's talk about the Port Townsend Marine Science Center summer camps. Emily, give us just a little background. What different kinds of camps are there and who attends them?
We have camps for ages ranging from 3 to 4. So those are our seal pups.
Seal pups, that's a great name.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. And those are ages who are just getting started with an introduction to the marine environment. And then it goes on to 11 to 13-year-olds. So those are our marine biology afoot and afloat campers who design scientific investigations and use oceanographic equipment that they carry out on Thunderbird boats.
Oh, fun.
Provided by the Northwest Maritime Center. And then we have our campers. They come from all over. A lot of them are from Port Townsend, but we do have some that come from the East Coast.
Really?
They come and they visit family kind of all over the peninsula, but most of them are from Port Townsend.
Annabelle, tell me, you mentioned you'd been to one camp and then you were a counselor this summer for another. Tell me just a bit about that camp.
At camp, I remember making a really good friend, like when I was little, and I still have that friend.
Oh, nice.
And I remember playing Sharks and Minnows for the very first time. Sharks and Minnows for like
okay,
the very first time.
What is Sharks and
at
Minnows?
Camp. It's like where everybody stands on one side, and then there's one shark, and everybody runs to the other side, and that shark tries to tag as many people as they can.
Oh, so that's a good sort of animal behavior game. It's like, how can a crowd outsmart a shark or something?
Yeah. But this year, I really enjoyed watching the kids make their sea creature in the sand at the beach. I thought it was really fun to see all the different...
So do they get to pick the sea creature they make? Or?
Yeah, it was really fun to watch them just use their imaginations to pick their sea creature and stuff.
Tell me about one of the creatures.
Well, my sister, who was in that camp that I was a junior counselor for, which was very fun, but she and her friend made turtles, a baby turtle and a mama turtle. And they weren't the most realistic animals, but they were really cute, and I thought she enjoyed the whole experience. So,
well, Emily, what do you hope the kids will take away from their experience as a camp? And what do you want them to learn and what do you want them to experience?
Varies a little bit with the different age groups because they're going to take away something different at each age. But overall, we really want the kids to take away an appreciation of the Salish Sea and this place we call home.
Yeah.
We hope that at the end of the camp, they can associate fun and nature together and being outside, and that leaves them with an eagerness to explore the natural world. Our camps are all place-based and hands-on, so we want the kids to get their hands dirty and make friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want them to learn about the diversity of the animals and the habitat here in the Salish Sea.
So have there been campers that you know of that have gone on to become marine biologists or oceanographers or scientists or...
Some of our camp counselors, I know, have asked our staff for recommendation letters for either high school or college applications or things like that. But then we have some campers like Annabelle who come back. They've done the camp. They come back as camp mm-hmm. counselors. And then our campers also, they come back, some of them, year after year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also says something about the camp and the kids that come back yeah. year after year. And there's always something new to learn every year that you come back.
So, Annabelle, you are from Port Townsend. I happen to know you've spent a fair amount of time out on the water. Did your experiences either as a camper or as a camp counselor, does it change how you think about the natural world at all?
Well, definitely just learning about the animals makes me feel closer to them. So I don't want to hurt them or mm-hmm. in any way. But I also like, on the boat, we always do marine science for our school because we come back late in the uh-huh. school year. So I love learning about the animals up in Alaska and down here and how they're different and which ones are here that aren't there and there that aren't here.
Interesting. I guess I probably should share with listeners, Annabelle and her family fish in the summertime for salmon up in Alaska. Maybe a question back to Emily. It sounds like this is a wonderfully fun experience, whether you're a camper or a counselor. I look at the educational side of this. Is there a curriculum that fits in with what kids learn in school? Annabelle's talking about doing some marine science as part of her school program. Do you work with the schools to sort of make things fit together?
A little. So we don't actually work, we're not really partnered with the schools, but we do align a lot of our curriculum with the next generation science standards. So it's already in line with what the schools are doing, mm-hmm. and it kind of just really nicely fits in with what they're teaching and kind of just supplements some of the things that maybe you can't do in a classroom.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask both of you the same question. I want to know about something that just really excited you or you found just super interesting. Just tell me a brief little sample of something. Either one of you can go first. I don't care.
Okay, I'll go first. Well, this just happened last week with summer camp. And I just thought this was just so exciting. I was in the aquarium working and just being in there. The kids were in summer camp. They were in the classroom in the aquarium. And they were being taught plankton lab. So they're learning all about plankton. And the door swung open for a few seconds. And you just hear all these oohs and ahs. And oh my gosh. And all these kids, you can tell that moment when they look through the microscope. And they finally see plankton for the first time.
Wow.
And it's an amazing thing. Because these kids, you know, they go out. And they do a plankton tow. And they get their sample. And they look at it. And they, most of them say, there's nothing in there. It's just water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally get it under the microscope and they're just amazed at this whole new world that they have never been introduced to.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating, strange, and bizarre world.
Yeah. You can see some funky things under the microscope.
Right. So, Annabelle, what about you? Share an experience.
I don't know. Because I was a camper for only 1 year, I don't have too many, experiences at the camp. But I just really love learning about marine life, finding new facts mm-hmm. about animals and plants and everything.
Do you think you'll keep learning about plants and animals as you grow older?
Oh, definitely. Because we go to Alaska and fish, I have that chance that mm-hmm. not many other people do, and it's really fun.
Wow. I know there have been camps going on this summer. Are there any more to come?
Yeah, we have camps. Last week was A Foot and a Float. I believe this week is Marine Biology. And then the next week is A Foot and a Float again.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is listening to the show, can they still get in the camps?
I believe so. I think a couple of the camps have a couple spots left. But if you go online or call our main office, they'll be definitely the help.
So that's the way to do it. Just go contact the Port Townsend Marine Science Center.
Yeah, and go on our website and look at what's still available.
I'm realizing I wish there were such things when I was a kid. But I mean, I got some time in the outdoors, which has sort of influenced me to this day, but never really a marine science camp. How much fun would that have been?
No.
Annabelle, would you recommend to your friends to do this?
Oh, definitely. It was a great experience for me, and it was for other people, too.
So did you learn while you were as a counselor as well? Did you learn things?
Yeah. Because I only did the camp 1 year, I definitely got to review a lot of things and learn new things.
And so do campers learn about, you already talked about plankton. Do they get that sort of whole swath from the plankton all the way up through the food web to the top predators?
Yeah. So they'll learn about plankton. They also learn about marine mammals and things like that. And the marine biology camp, the foot and a float one, the kids actually start off first couple days by going through some of our curriculum. And then the second day, they actually will kind of create an experiment. And so they ask a question and they get to go out on the boats, take water samples, they test pH or temperature, light, things like that. And then they come back and see if their prediction was correct. So it's this whole...
It's like a little science experiment, a real one.
Yeah. It's a, you know, hands-on, do-it-yourself kind of... Everything is inquiry-based. And so, yeah, these kids get to run their own experiment, and they get to present it at the end to their parents, and it's pretty fun to see.
That's fun. So who teaches these classes?
Carolyn Woods, she's our education coordinator. She teaches most of the summer camps, and then the AmeriCorps, the four AmeriCorps at the Port Townsend Marine Science Center, we help out. And then we also have our interns who help out. So this year we have just one intern, but he's been helping us out. So we all rotate week to week and we switch off. So there's Carolyn, and then there's also our camp assistant. And so she works with Carolyn to teach most of the camps. And then the AmeriCorps and intern, we rotate week to week and switch off.
So I have a question for you, Emily. You've been here as an AmeriCorps volunteer for almost a year, right?
Yes.
In that year, what's been the most interesting thing you've learned?
I think the most interesting thing I've learned, I mean, I'm always fascinated with how much stuff or how much information there is to learn, especially with marine biology. You're never bored, and you're never too young to learn. People of all ages are so enthusiastic about coming into the aquarium and getting their questions answered. And so I think just kind of realizing throughout this year that no matter how old you are, you're always learning. And there's so much to learn with marine biology and science in general. So, yeah.
So we'll just keep learning. Yeah. Okay. Well, again, thanks a lot. So now I think it's time to hear the mystery sound again. Well, that was the sound of harlequin ducks. These multicolored and handsome ducks are common along the turbulent winter shores of the Salish Sea. I usually see them when I walk at North Beach in the wintertime. And in the summer, you can see breeding harlequin ducks moving up to the rushing waters in the mountainous streams. I remember the first time I saw harlequin ducks up in Solduck Falls, it was like, those can't be harlequin ducks. But they were. I could hardly believe my eyes. It was just so wonderful. Anyway, that's that sound that sort of sounded a bit like a mouse. Now, looking forward with the help again of Annabelle and Emily, what's coming up?
On Thursday, July 26th, go with the Native Plant Society for a short walk to Badger Valley near Hurricane Ridge. Expect to see dozens of subalpine to alpine wildflower species blooming at this time. Google Olympic Peninsula chapter of the Washington Native Plant Society for details.
Just outside of Port Townsend is an amazing National Wildlife Reserve, Protection Island. Nearly 70% of the nesting seabird population of Puget Sound and the Straits nest on that island, and it includes one of the largest nesting colonies of rhinoceros auklets in the world, and the largest nesting colony of glaucous wing gulls in Washington State. The island also contains one of the last two nesting colonies of tufted puffins in the Puget Sound area. They are wonderful to watch fly. There's also about 1,000 harbor seals that depend on the island for pupping and resting. Join the Port Townsend Marine Science Center and the Puget Sound Express for a very special summer puffin cruise on Saturday, July 28th.
The Friends of Fort Worden are sponsoring an effort to remove scotch broom along the Bluff Trail and the mortar batteries on Saturday, July 28th. Meet at the Grass Triangle at Memories Vault at 9:30.
That's a really important thing to do, yeah. To work on the invasive species.
Yeah.
On August 4th, join the Admiralty Audubon for a first Saturday morning birding adventure at Fort Flagler. Check their website for details.
And on Saturday, August the 4th, the Olympic Peninsula Audubon Society hosts an outing along the western shore of Squim Bay from John Wayne Marina to Port Williams. Go to the Olympic Peninsula Audubon Society for more information.
And lastly, it is time to start reading Return of the Sea Otter by Todd McLeish for the August 27th gathering of the Jefferson Land Trust Natural History Society.
And I have that book on next to my bed, and I have just started it. So that's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you've enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about the natural community where we live. Contact Nature Now hosts if you have comments, observations, or ideas. Email us at naturenow, that's one word, naturenow@kptz.org. Nature Now airs at 12:05 p.m. on Wednesdays, just after the community calendar, with repeats here on KPTZ, that's 91.9 FM, on Thursdays at 5:05 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:30. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Thanks for listening.
Nature Now is produced by Nan Evans and edited by Charlie Fleischman.
Closing music this week is Life is Grand, performed by the group Camper Van Beethoven.
And I will say this at the risk of falling. yourself.